up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm not too bad, actually.
That's good.
Next, we've got Peter. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I brought my lucky feather.
Hey, there you go. Now, wait a minute. Oh, never mind. There are a lot of feathers, at least here in Kansas, we're not allowed to pick up and own. So
this is a turkey feather.
Okay, then you're fine. So, and we've also got Steve this week. Steve, how's your week going?
It's going great.
Good. Guys, if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got a lot of fun shows coming up, including next week, a show of a movie that I've actually never actually seen. So we shall see how that goes. But this week, we are jumping back 83 years to the 1941 Dumbo. In case someone has been living under a rock and has never actually heard the story of Dumbo, baby elephant, great big huge ears, gets mocked mercilessly. Some kids basically come and abuse him, and his mom stops them. His mom gets locked in elephant jail for it. Timothy Mouse comes along as kind of reminds me of a Jiminy Cricket character, but kind of as a hype man for him, I think is probably the best way to describe it. And they try and do a tricks with him, and he becomes a clown that he hates. And then there's a really sad scene with him and his mom singing probably one of the best actually lullabies that Disney has in their shows with Baby Mine. And then he gets drunk and sees a whole bunch of pink elephants and winds up in a tree, which I think we've all been there. and then ends up, he flew up there and then they decide to have him come out as being able to fly at the circus. He flies. He's a hero. Everyone lives happily ever after. So, I said, that's Dumbo. There was a remake lately. I have not seen the remake, mainly because I have no desire to see any of the Disney remakes at all. But yeah, that one looks especially terrible. Pete, I'm going to start with you on this one. What still soars high about the movie?
Well, you touched on the one thing that I still think is effective and beautiful, and that's the Baby Mine scene. It's hard not to tear up at that scene in the movie, and even if you listen to the song knowing the movie, I think that one particular scene just works gangbusters, even separate from the movie, even if you see it in like a clip show or something like that. So I would say that, and kind of like the Casey Jr. part at the beginning where the train's going down the track and everything. Derek will probably say it. It's short.
It is the shortest of all the Disney movies.
So what about you, Steve? Got anything to add?
The songs, like you said, the lullaby. I remember, have you ever seen Elephant Fly? I sang that when I was in fifth grade in music class for music performance. And I loved it because I loved to play in words. I was sort of the nerdy kid and I really enjoyed that. It was enjoyable. I mean, I didn't keep my focus 100%, but is enjoyable because I remember watching it. I think I saw it in the theaters because it was released or something. So it brings back childhood memories. That's what I'd say, what I liked about it. Derek?
I actually enjoy this movie. I think, as you guys have talked about, it was used a bunch in a lot of the different clip shows that Disney would have going on, especially like the Wonderful World of Disney stuff that would come on every evening. Like where I was from anyway, it'd come on at 5 o'clock every evening, usually after reading Rainbow and an old math show called Square One.
Oh, I remember.
And, but the opening clip of this was always used in the Mother's Day episodes of that. Gotta love Sterling Holloway as the stork. This was actually the first of the times they used him as a voice of many to come. They used him. He was the narrator for Mickey and the Beanstalk. He was, He was the narrator for Mickey and the Beanstalk when it was released individually. When it was done with Melody, Make Mine, whichever one of those it was, Edgar Bergen actually narrated it, which was weird.
I'm pretty sure he was the Cheshire Cat in Alice.
He was the Cheshire Cat in Alice. He was Ka. He was the essential Winnie the Pooh. He was the narrator of Peter and the Wolf. I mean, this was the start of a long relationship between Disney and Sterling Holloway. I think that while some may not enjoy it, the pink elephant scene for its time was incredibly creative. And they had not done much like that, especially honestly, where they go around the frame and getting bigger. And then just the illustration of the bubbles is drawn so beautifully. Now, the songs, not so great, maybe as far as like the pink elephant song. I love the songs. I honestly like the crows. Because they are about the only ones that are positive towards Dumbo. They back up Dumbo. They support Dumbo. They're the misfits that he works with. I mean, are they laughing at him? Yes, but when they realize how much they were hurting his feelings, it's one of those, oh, darn. Okay, I got to try and help fix this. Now, were they incredibly racially stereotyped? Yes. And I think we all have to acknowledge that. But as characters, I think the crows actually work. I enjoyed this. Kate, anything else for you that really worked?
I did not realize that there was so much music in this movie. That was one thing that I guess I knew that there was music, but I kept hearing songs and being like, oh yeah, I didn't realize that was from this. Oh, I didn't realize that was from this. Like the Casey Jr. song. I know that song, but it has been years and years and years and years and years since I've seen this movie. So I enjoyed the music of it. I was pleasantly surprised by just how much music was in it. I really enjoyed that old school animation. That classic Disney animation I enjoyed. It is a heartfelt. So full disclosure, I a little bit fast forwarded through Baby Mine only because I'm really emotional right now. And I was like, I can only handle so much. And I didn't know how much in the feels it was going to get me. I do enjoy that song. This is a movie for sure. I wish. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Man, what I would give for it to really just be a stork. Just a stork. A stork that just comes and says, sign here. Here you go. That had me giggling at the beginning. There were parts that were hard to watch. But overall, I didn't dislike it as much as I thought I would. So,
okay.
And I enjoyed the music a lot.
And as we're talking about, you know, I talk about Strang Hollyway. We had Verna Felton in this, who plays all sorts of different voices, including the fairy godmother. She was the matriarch of the elephants and also Mrs. Jumbo. So, and in her first voice role for Disney. So, okay. If that's the stuff that soared high, Steve, I'm going to start with you because I'm sure Pete will have more no matter what we have to say. What was scarier than a pink elephant? What did not work about this?
First, the pink elephants went way too long.
I'll give you that.
I mean, I like the animation. I thought it was cool seeing some new things. I remember at the time, but it gets way too long. The one thing I really had a problem on is that some animals were talking and then other animals were treated just as like normal animals. So for me, it was that weird thing where you have part of these animals and they're acting like animals, but now the elephants are talking to each other when the crows talk. And I saw this, there's a special that's on there, an extra like 30 minutes making Dumbo. And one person said, I think really hit home when I heard it, was that it's a short film. And they talked about how it's almost really like an extended silly symphony. So it's like an extended cartoon. And I think that's where I think it's one of faults. It's trying to be a movie, but it doesn't have enough to be a full movie. But then it has too much to be like a short cartoon. So it's trying to find that balance with the storytelling. Like, I feel like you could shorten the pink elephant thing and it'll make it a little bit shorter and the story could go a little bit faster. And maybe it would work as like a 30 minute cartoon and you still could get the same emotional impact. So those are the two things that I really guess bothered me after we were watching this.
And I would definitely agree with that. I think the story is very weak. Because there's only so much that you can say, only so many different ways you can have his ears cause problems. The middle section, honestly, after Casey Jr. and before Baby Mine, that section in there gets long. It you could have cut either when he jumps out as the clown or when he went and crashed into the elephants. And we talk about them stacking themselves. All that scene itself took way too long. But one interesting thing is the clowns in this are supposedly caricatures of the artists that left because of the strike. They made them all clown.
Okay.
Because this was actually one of the first ones they did post strike. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's his most profitable movie since Snow White. Actually, his only profitable movie since Snow White.
Yeah, the short talks about how it actually saved the company.
Yeah. Because, Fantasia and Bambi both lost huge amounts of money on their initial runs. Mm. Partially because Europe was shut down because, you know, they were a little busy.
That's not funny.
We'll get into a little bit later whether or not, you know, we think it works today. I think one thing is the racial stereotype that you don't talk about so much is the roustabout scene. Is the faceless black guys who came out and put up the tent in the rain, and how we work all night, we sleep all day.
That was the one toward the beginning, right?
Yeah, that's after Casey Jr.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
When they get to the town. So that scene basically makes those people, and if you listen to some of the lyrics, and they've put back the original lyrics, because even when they re-released this, they realized that some of the original lyrics were not great about how they basically go spend all their money in town drinking. And not exactly great people. They actually changed that for some of the re-releases later. But they put back the original lyrics now. Which interestingly, they have not replaced the original lyrics on the first scene of Aladdin. So, because anyway, there's a line in that song.
They changed that very early, though.
And the Aladdin one, they changed incredibly early. Like,
yeah.
Even
I don't think it ever came out on home video without the change.
I don't think it did either, but the sheet music still has the original lyrics in it for Aladdin.
Right.
Which is because it's one of those, it's, you know, the original line is where they will cut off your hand if they don't like your face. Right. Was it's barbaric, but hey, it's home was the original line in that opening song. So anyway, back to Dumbo. Yeah, it runs it along. It's definitely got some stereotype problems, and I'll toss it over to Kate because there's a couple more, but I want to let these two talk too. So, Kate?
Yeah, I agree with everything that's been said. I think I'm the super tenderhearted one of the group of the platoon. So even at the very beginning when like his ears popped out and they were like, Jumbo, more like Dumbo. And again, this is the first time I've seen this movie since I was really little. And I literally said out loud, oh my God, that's how he got his name.
And the fact that no one ever calls him Jumbo Jr. again.
I know. Like that just, it was hard for me to see past that. So sorry. Like I almost went back and like rewound it to see if I was wrong. Like surely I didn't mishear that. But I didn't.
None of us
and
are sure.
It's hard when the kids are making fun of his ear and like the mom goes to, it's just, I'm super tenderhearted, especially right now. So that was all hard. There are parts that are obviously problematic. I mean, you guys said pretty much what I was going to say. It's still a good movie. There are parts that drag. There are definitely parts that drag, but it's only what, an hour and 5 minutes, like an hour and something.
63 minutes.
Yeah. It's short already.
61 anyway. Yeah.
But there are parts that are like I found myself like checking the time or like moving my mouse so that I could see how much time was left or moving my like controller or whatever. So it's a good movie, but it has the same flaws that you all were talking about. Anyway, what do you think, Pete?
So, well, you hit my big thing, my biggest thing. I'm probably not as sensitive as you are, but I don't like this movie, and the reason is it's 65 minutes long, and it's 63 minutes of basically unrelenting cruelty towards Dumbo.
Yes!
A character that is the most innocent of characters. He does nothing, yes. You know, you watch a movie like Pinocchio, and yeah, Pinocchio has some bad stuff happen, but he also does things to get himself in trouble. Dumbo never does anything wrong in this movie yet. Well, I mean, he trips over his ears or whatever, but just like the way instantly everybody treats him like total crap from the minute he shows up through the entire movie. And I'll even argue like the crows are not as cruel to him, but are still like making fun of him as they're, you know, trying to help him out. And until the last minute when he flies, then all of a sudden everybody's like, yay, it's Dumbo. He's wonderful. Yay. And then the movie ends.
He could actually argue the only true good guy is Timothy. It's
Timothy. Yeah. Timothy's the only really
fallen one. Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
And I just, I didn't rewatch this movie because I've seen it enough times. I mean, it's again not a favorite of mine, but I've seen it enough times with my daughter that I don't like this movie, and I don't like it because it's to me just very cruel, and I don't like that. In addition, there's a lot of scenes that I don't really care for, like the pink elephant on parade. I've never liked that. I know the animation is impressive. As Steve said, it goes on way too long. I didn't time it, but it feels like it goes on for about 15 minutes. It probably actually goes on for like 7 or 8, but it could have been half the length that it is. and just, I don't know. There's just so much of this movie I dislike. I honestly didn't watch it for usually, no matter how many times I've seen a movie, like when we did The Lion King, I've seen The Lion King at least 100 times and I watched it. And I didn't want to watch this movie because I dislike it that much. So, you know,
does your daughter like this movie?
No, I don't think she's a big fan of it. No, okay. I can't say she ever like pulls it up to watch. She still watches a lot of animated movies. You know, and sometimes I get frustrated because all she wants to do is rewatch the same movies over and over. And, you know, yeah. Not that she doesn't like live action, but she's an animation major. So there's, right. You know, there's a reason behind that. And so I didn't talk to her about this to see what she thought of it. But you're right, though.
You made the point, I think, that I was trying to make, but I didn't know how to word that. This movie's mean.
Yeah.
They're mean. Yeah. And I don't like mean. And maybe that's partly why I was checked out part of the time, is because I went into it knowing that they're mean. And I don't like the same parts that I don't like in like Pinocchio, even though like Pinocchio does things that make the bad things happen. I think I even texted Derek and I was like, because when I first started watching, I got Pinocchio and Dumbo mixed up. I had parts of it mixed up because I kept thinking about the like circusy part of Pinocchio with the Donkey Boys. And I was like, I specifically remember not liking this part. And Derek was like, no, that's part of Pinocchio. That's not Dumbo.
Well, I think so, the Dumbo Boys reminded me of Pinocchio.
They looked almost exactly the same as them.
Yeah.
So anyway, Steve, go ahead. What was...
No, I was going to say it's the same thing. Yeah.
It's just as I said, I can't get over that enough to enjoy the good things about this movie. And I can understand liking this movie. You know, the racial stereotypes are problematic, but I mean, I've said this before, not that I forgive it, but when you're looking at a movie that's 80 years old, you have to take that into account when you're watching it and understand that this isn't the way it should be, but it's the way it was. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, it's the same thing with like Peter Pan, which is a movie I like a lot better, has, you know,
the Indian
some terribly racist stuff in it. This one to me isn't quite as bad as that is, but I'd still rather watch Peter Pan. So, that's my main comment. So,
I would say in the extra that's on there, there's the 30-minute extra. They actually talk a little bit about the racial undertones. So he brings up some interesting facts. The person who said it was a white male, though, so I'd be curious to hear the other side of their interpretation of how, and you know, they specifically talked about their crows and then how, what they use for the animation. I would have to read more to make a judgment call on that. I went, oh, okay. And when you're talking about that, but it was a very interesting.
Hey, Steve, what did he talk about on that?
They talked about what they based the characters on of the vaudeville team from the time. And they showed the clips of how they looked at their dance moves and how they talked and how they were trying to base it on them. So.
And what was it, an actual African-American vaudeville team?
Yes.
Or was it a
men's? Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So.
And I know the choir that they used to sing that song, except for the main crow was actually Cliff Edwards, the same guy who voiced Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah.
But the rest of the crows were part of an all African-American choir.
Yeah.
Male choir. So, which was actually one of the first times that African-American, it was another chance for African-Americans to have a role in movies with white people. Well, now, granted, it was all animated, but still. Back in 1941, you got to remember, we're not that far removed from Gone with the Wind in 1938.
And it's getting off subject, but again, I'm because I'm like a bit of a movie buff, and you know the history of movies. Like to me, I think they should allow Song of the South to be seen with the caveat that, like, this movie and like Peter Pan, like, this is not really good, guys, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is what it was at the time, and you know, I think there's worse things out there than Song of the South from that period, and movies that are you know, very well thought of that actually have things that are very, very bad. And a lot of you know, famous, there's I forget,
Gone with the Wind. I mean,
yeah. Well, I was going to say there's a Fred Astaire movie, one of the more famous Fred Astaire movies.
He does a Holiday Inn. One.
No, I think it's like Swing Time or something, yeah, like that. I forget the name of it, but anyways, where he does a blackface.
He does it in Holiday Inn as well.
He does it in Holiday Inn too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, that is not right in any way, shape, or form.
I'm fairly certain.
Yeah, but it existed. I mean, there's stuff in Warner Brothers cartoons that you look at now and you go, ooh.
Oh. I just thought there's a TikTok going around that's of from the 1940 something Batman, like the live action Batman TV show or whatever, and it is horribly, horribly racist against Japanese people. Horribly racist. It's wild. Anyway.
And I just looked it up. It was only in Swing Time. He doesn't do it in Holiday Inn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's in Swing Time. So,
I know that's getting a little off topic, but
not necessarily. You know,
so I fault the movie less on that than I do
the cruelty
on the things that I don't, the thing that I really don't like. Right. Yeah.
I mean, when the scene that most everyone remembers is, a lot of people don't remember the beginning 3/4 of this movie. A lot of people don't remember the cruelty towards Dumbo.
Right.
It's just him flying and being the hero at the end.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree. I think I like the movie in the fact that, again, I think I like the music and I like the animation. Pete, you're absolutely right, though. The story is not a positive story to be showing kids.
Mm-mm.
At all.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even think of it that way. I was just more thinking of it from my personal perspective that, you know, I there's things to like about this movie. So I don't blame anyone if they like this movie. It's, you know, there's, you know, Dumbo as a character is very sympathetic, and like they do a really good job of making a character that never talks in the entire movie be an actual character, you know. So there's good stuff in here, but as I said, to me, I can't overcome that other part. So,
and I have actually seen the book that this was originally based on. This is much tamer than the book that this was originally based on. In the books, they are horrible to Dumbo.
Yeah.
But you also got a problem in this movie with there's no real true antagonist. The antagonist is, in a way, his ears, which,
well, yeah,
I mean, if you look at what causes the thing that causes the problem against the primary character,
right,
it's everybody else slash his ears. So it has multiple issues, I would agree.
Yeah.
So, Kate, as we always do, we're going to do cups of pixie dust out of 5, 4. Dumbo. Kate, what are you going to give Dumbo?
I'm going to give it a 2.5. I feel like that's also being really generous for me, but I do enjoy the music. And I enjoy the music. I also have a soft spot for the Elephant Fly song that when I see, and because of Festival of Fantasy, because that was a big part of the Festival of Fantasy parade. And that was, so that just always brings me nostalgia, which doesn't have anything to do with the movie, but and Dumbo is such, like, I feel bad even calling him Dumbo now.
Jumbo Jr.
He's just such, you're right, for a character that doesn't speak, he is such, like, you just want to snuggle him. You just want to love on him and snuggle him. So I'm going to give it a 2.5, but I feel like that might be generous. What about you, Pete?
I'm giving this a 1.5. It gets that high because there are some good songs in it. And like you with the Elephant Fly, like to me, I always think of the Casey Jr. song as the when they had the opening ceremonies at Magic Kingdom, the train came and go, Casey Jr. coming down the track. So,
yep.
Yeah, not, and the baby mind scene is beautiful. So I'm going to give it 1.5. So. And I did show it to my kid, so.
I'm going with 2, mainly for the music. And I guess, I mean, I remember seeing it as a kid. So, a 2. Strong 2.
I'm going to go 2.5, mainly because it's better. I would watch definitely parts of it again. I would leave it. If it's on and someone else is watching it, I will happily stay in the room and be in there with them and watch the parts of it I enjoy and can kind of zone out to the others because I've seen them so many times.
Yeah.
And lately, I would rather watch it than some of the stuff I've given a 2 to lately. So I got to give, and by far, rather watch it than the stuff I've given a 2, but it's not at a 3 for me. So. 2.5.
I feel like, I mean, I stand by my 2, and oh God, 2.5 is so high. A part of me wants to go down to a 2. May move mine down to a 2. If I have kids someday, will I show it to my kids? Maybe. But the music is so iconic. And yeah, 2. Yeah, 2. 2.5.
So.
But it's such a Disney classic. That's the...
It is. I mean, it was the first one ever that came out on VHS.
Yeah.
Ever. It was the first one that ever came out on DVD. So it was the first one they released in several different formats.
Wow.
Yeah. But I will say this. I don't think Bambi is a great movie. No. It's very boring. I would choose to watch Bambi over this.
Not even close. Not even. I would watch it up and as long as he's a baby Bambi, I would watch the snow scene and I would watch Twitter Pated. Other than that, you can have the rest of Bambi. Oh, and Thumper as a little kid is cute.
Well, I'll take Bambi. You can have Dumbo.
And
when we've watched every single Disney movie and we do the Disney draft and we're all picking our movies, I'll take Bambi. You can take Dumbo.
Dumbo's not on the list. Dumbo's a way down. Dumbo's like a 7th or 8th rounder type thing when there's not much left.
Ooh, well, are we going to have to vote on all these when we watch the Toonies? Are we going to do the Toonies this year? Because didn't we watch both of those movies this year?
Yes. We have not done Bambi. We have not done Bambi.
We haven't done Bambi? We
did Bambi.
Yes, we have done Bambi.
It was our spring movie.
We did Bambi.
Yes, we did Bambi. Yeah.
Bambi.
I remember talking about it to me. It was like Fantasia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I picked Fantasia over both of these.
We will be doing the Toonies later. And I will say our ratings are all right about the same for Dumbo and Bambi. Okay. So neither of them were hits with the platoon.
No.
So.
That tracks.
But. Mentioning that, Kate, we will have the Toonies coming up. They will be coming up first part of December. So first part of November, be watching on Facebook and everywhere for the nominations and voting for the Toonies and let us know what the best of what we've done this year is. So, Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Only a little bit for Disney Plus news. First of all, Daredevil Born Again will be debuting on the service March 4th, y'all. I'm not happy about it. It's how they portrayed Daredevil at the end of She-Hulk?
And She-Hulk?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be representative.
You think that they'll go back to how they had him in the...
I don't think it'll be as rough as the Netflix show, but I think it'll be more like...
You didn't like the Netflix show of Daredevil?
No, when I say rough, I mean it was very...
Yeah. But in Casey and I's watch through of all of Marvel, that was our favorite show was Daredevil. It's so good. The fighting is so... Anyway, doesn't matter. So we'll see. And last but not least, Disney Plus and Hulu. Are you kidding me? I didn't know this. I just read this. Disney Plus and Hulu will no longer let you sign up for the service through the Apple Store. This is being done to avoid the fees that Apple charges its app developers, taking some of the money away from Disney. So interesting. All right. Interesting.
I do know that for the Verizon people, though, if you are looking at getting it for Verizon, if you still have the old plan that includes it, you're grandfathered in, because that plan is actually no longer offered. Right. If you switch plans, it's $10. The current no ads Disney Plus, ads Hulu, ads ESPN, which is the what they call the legacy bundle, is $10 a month for the entire account. So it's as long as, so that may be the issue. Is your daughter, Pete, is your daughter on your Verizon account?
Yes.
Then she should be able, she should be fine on your Disney Plus, even wherever she happens to live.
They haven't taken it away yet. So, yeah.
So, yeah. So, okay. Next week, being Halloween, being our show coming out, actually, show will come out on Halloween. And then that Friday will be the Day of the Dead. We are going to watch Coco. I have not seen this movie at all. Part of it is when it came out, I was not in a good place mentally. Because this is going to be great. I had just lost my dad.
No, no, we need to not watch this one.
So I have, I have been avoiding watching this movie. About the only other one I'm avoiding more is whatever one was with the elves and the van going after their dad, that Pixar
movie. Oh, Onward.
That movie was not good.
Yeah, that's a lot of what I've heard and was going to hit a really close to the bone for me. So, but yeah. No, I've heard, I mean, I know a couple of the songs and I know that it's going to be, it's going to have a presence in the Disney parks for a while to come. Cause isn't there going to be some, is there going to be something Coco at Animal Kingdom, or is it just Encanto and Indy? I think it's just, is the carousel still Encanto?
No, Encanto is going to have a dark ride.
Right. But I think it's also going to be the carousel.
The carousel was originally going to be Coco, but I think they changed it. And now it's like different Disney horses from different movies. So I don't think it's.
Sure. See, I've heard one potential is it's the animals that the kid deals with in
Antonio.
That Antonio interacts with.
I don't know. So. There's not a lot of presence in Florida, but it's Coco is pretty heavy and going to be more heavy in California.
DCA, yeah.
Yeah.
So DCA, they still have a little quick showing with puppets and everything. That's a huge hit all the time. Mm-hmm. So
I also know they had him standing on the balcony of the Golden Horseshoe Cafe when I was at Disneyland, and like standing out there waving, and no one was noticing him. But
they had that was at Canto. Never mind.
So we watched Coco. I said, I've never seen it. So be interesting to see what I have the three of you all seen it
there. Yes. Yeah. There's a part towards the end that I don't know how you don't cry being human, but overall, I don't think it's that I don't think the movie as a whole is particularly, tearjerkery, to speak.
Okay.
So, because it's mostly like an adventure that happens to this kid. So,
okay.
I'm not going to say anything more because,
This is one I have not looked at a plot summary on it at all. I just, I know the song Remember Me, and that's about it. I know I've got, a few glimpses of, like, who might be the good guy? Who might be the bad guy? Might be the good guy, might be the bad guy type thing. But I haven't seen those in years. So I'm truly going into this fresh. And I don't honestly remember the last time that happened with a movie for me. So that wasn't a completely brand new movie. So we shall see how things go. Guys, if you have suggestions on stuff we should watch, email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com, message us Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. We take all suggestions and we answer all the comments that come to us. So if you just even want to just make sure to check someone, if someone's actually real life listening to it, message us and we'll reply. Guys, we have new episodes coming every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcast and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.